Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gujarat Pipavav Port Limited discussion on Q2 FY23, H1 FY23 results hosted by Centrum Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Shah. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Vivian. Very good morning to everyone. On behalf of Centrum Broking Limited, I invite you to the conference call of Gujarat Pipavav Port Limited for discussing the Q2 FY23 and first half FY23 results. We have from the management Mr. Jakob Sørensen, who is the Managing Director, and Mr. Santosh Breed, who is the CFO of the company. We will begin with opening remarks on the results from the management and then follow with the question and answer session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Over to me. Thank you very much, and thank you for your interest as usual. I hope you can hear on the tone of my voice that I'm in a good mood today, because yesterday we had a fantastic board meeting in Ahmedabad, and the results are kind of speaking for themselves. I would like to just point out that in the comparisons of the financial years, we do have 2021. On the 17th of May, we had the cyclone, and then the subsequent interruptions that gave us in Pipavav. But I'm also very proud to say that we got out of that cyclone as a phoenix. We have been rising, and the results of this quarter has been cementing the fact that we are back to pre-COVID levels, and that we are firing on all cylinders here. So I'm looking forward to your questions, and when they become a little bit more in the details and on the account of numbers, then Santosh Breed is the expert. So with that, I'll hand it back to Mr. Shah, and then let's get started with the questions.
Yeah. So before that, I think just a quick update. Just to give a key update, the presentation, of course, is on there on the website. But to explain some numbers here, the container volumes have grown by 19%. I'm referring to now a comparison between the current quarter versus the same quarter last year, where the volumes have grown by 19%, and then that is mainly driven by exim and the transshipment volumes. The exim volumes were higher by 10%, and the ICD volumes, which is the main market, has also gone up by 7%. The dry bulk volumes were low by 7%, but here again, it is mainly because of a significant import what we have seen last year for minerals. The overall volumes for dry bulk, this year presentation, are above 1 million, to repeat, 1.3 million metric tons, even in this quarter. So there's a good run rate that has now been maintained consistently for dry bulk. Liquid volumes were higher by 6%. This is mainly driven by the higher import of LPG. Ro-ro volumes were also higher by 5%, so we are seeing some gradual increase in our car export volume as well. And with that, we have seen a 17% increase on the revenue. EBITDA is at INR 1.2 billion and higher by 11%. The interest income and the lower tax rate, so both favorable, has helped us to further improve our net profit, and it is higher by 56%. In our board meeting, as Jakob mentioned yesterday, the board has also approved an interim dividend of rupees 2.70 per share, and this will be paid by first December.
And that's the highest interim dividend.
That's right. That's the highest interim dividend the company has declared so far. So with that, now we can take the questions now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. And congratulations on a very, very good set of numbers. So my first question is, of course, H1 has been pretty good for us. But as we enter into H2, do you think the weak commentary on global trade is going to have some kind of impact on container volumes in H2? Secondly, do you think the entire benefit of DFCC has kicked in now, and are you seeing any benefit?
Yeah. So starting with the outlook, and yes, there is signs of recession somewhere in the world, and there's elections going on, and there's wars in Europe. But if I can zoom in on us in India, I think India is still in a very good situation, and we continue to see growth. And for Pipavav, I think we are entering into new markets, so you will see the fact that the container rates are coming down is probably going to be helping us, because we'll see, for example, export of rice from India going back to containers, and I think again we are in a good spot in Pipavav. We are also not 100% exposed to North Europe or to the United States. We are the West Coast gateway entry from Asia to India, and as you mentioned, we have the link with the DFC to the MCR. We are also seeing exports strong to the Middle East, and we're going to start one or two new Middle East connectivities on the ocean part in this month. Actually, we have a service that starts from Pipavav to Diwali, which is going to be an express export service from India to the Middle East. So, frankly, if you're asking for second half of this financial year, I'm remaining optimistic, and I think we are not fully exposed to all the bad news, but we also have some good outlook on the horizon. And the second question is about the DFC. I actually had the pleasure of meeting the Minister of Railways, Mr. Aswani Vaishnav, the Honorable Minister of Railways, in Delhi last week. And the answer is really that no, we have not seen the surface. We have not scratched the opportunities and the benefits of the DFC. It's not kicked in yet. There's a massive, massive opportunity lying waiting for us there. And we've only begun. So this is going to be a long journey. It's going to be years of work, but I'm convinced that the conversion from road to rail is going to continue. DFC has done a great job in building. They're going to continue to expand the network. And this is actually the sort of concrete background of the Gati Shakti, combined with IT capabilities and coordination, but the physical movement from road to rail is propelled by the DFC, and we're just starting there. So that's going to be a very, very exciting journey with our customers to build full advantage of that.
Understood, sir. So can you tell us, how do you see the bulk volume panning out? Of course, this quarter was so pretty strong, given that 1.3 million ton is a good number for us. How do you think the H2, do you think there is some weakness in the bulk volume as you go forward, or do you think this kind of volume can sustain on a quarterly basis?
Yeah, so we have a little bit of UTCL volume involved in that, but luckily they have recovered now from the cyclone and rebuilt their own jetty. So some of the volume will go away again, but I think the bulk volumes, both import and export, remain strong. On import, we have very, very strong fertilizer coming in, and our operations, you know, we're doing the import of fertilizer and bagging it and then sending it out to India by rail cars. It's going very well, and we have added one more bagging line in our warehouse operations for that. We have also added new commodities such as wood pulp that's coming in. And reversely, we also see wheat, rice, and gore gum and other export commodities, which are brand new that we have not participated in for a long time, that's now starting to move as export. So I remain quite optimistic about the outlook for bulk, both import and export.
Understood. Thank you. Best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, if you could help us with the Exim growth for the quarter on a YY basis or a QOQ basis, if possible.
So Exim volumes are up by 10% on YY basis.
Exim volume 10% YY, right?
Yeah.
Understood. The second question I had, you know, if you look at the EBITDA margin, they are about 53-54%. And we have seen that for the last few quarters, we have been between 53-57%. Can you help us understand, you know, the, you know, how do we look at the margins moving forward? When do we start hitting the 60% plus, which is the aspirations what we had indicated earlier?
So, actually, that's the aspiration what we have, and we continue to pursue that aspiration. What we are seeing right now is because of the cargo mix. So, if you've seen our presentation also mentioned, the container volume is a mix of exim and transshipment. So, we also are handling some transshipment volume, which comes at a lower realization. And then also the dry bulk cargo, where we have seen some consistent volume. So, these also come with a lower realization as compared to other business streams. So, because of this, we are seeing this variation in the EBITDA margin. But I think we're not really extremely worried about this because all these cargo is still helping us to cover our fixed costs. And initially, when we see an improvement in the container volume, mainly on the green side, then we'll touch that 50% margin.
Yeah. And I would like to add to that that on the container volumes, we have seen a steady, consistent growth month on month. It's not a double digit, but it's a recovery that's strong. And as I said, it's recorded that every month is a little bit better than the previous month. And as Santosh said, in the meantime, what we are being helped is that the various bulk activities we're doing is helping us cover some of our fixed costs and so forth. So I think it's a very good sign that the whole balanced exposure and the cargo mix is helping us to continue to produce good yields and returns. And as you can also see, we are inching closer to the 60%.
So, if I were to put it in a different fashion, you know, X of the dry bulk and the transshipment, would margins be tracking that 60% plus?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, the dry bulk, in some nature, it's less automated, and that means there's also variable costs for labor, etc. Which, if the volumes go up, then the costs go up as well. And you're right, on transshipment, this is normally a service in the container side where we give discounts, whereas import-export is, of course, the main bread and butter for that business.
Got it. So if I hear you out, you're saying that month on month, there is a recovery in the volume, and you are optimistic about the volume. Now, my question was, you know, from a longer-term perspective, given the way the trade is shaping up with respect to, you know, Vizhinjam transshipment terminal being set up, could there be a risk to, you know, our business, given currently the transshipment volumes which are happening in Colombo are coming to our ports?
No, not really, and I think other ports in Gujarat are much more into that business, and it's good that you have noticed that the transshipment is really a marginal business. Nobody's really making money on that. So we are a gateway port, and that means we are, focused on import and export, and then we love it when we also do coastal, because that's supporting Sagarmala. But and then of course, as been mentioned from the previous caller, we also link on the land with the DFC. So we're truly an important component of an end-to-end multimodal supply chain. This transshipment services is not really interesting, and it's not something we aspire to be part of.
Understood. And is there any update with respect to the the DMCC location, Dholera, if I recall the name right? Is there any update on that, how it is progressing?
Not a big update, but you would have noticed that Dholera has clinched a couple of really big investors and people are developing manufacturing there. I recall having seen the Foxconn confirming to be located there. Tata Power is going to do lithium batteries. Renew Energy is going to do solar panels. So I think it's a long term. But given the location, I actually also think they're moving on with an international airport in Dholera. So but given the location, obviously Pipavav is the natural gateway port for that as well. And we are looking at the rail connectivity to Dholera. There's about 30 kilometers of new tracks that has to be built by the railways. But in fact, it's one of the things that's being discussed. But it'll be a little bit a longer term, give it a couple of years before that's really taking off. But we're in a good position for that as well.
Got it. And just one more, if I may, sir, with respect to the concession extension, is there any update you would like to share?
Yeah, actually, I have a very good reason not to share updates at this moment, because we are into the blackout period due to the elections that's been called now in Gujarat. So we remain, of course, with a long-term view and optimistic about the extension, and those discussions that we are having with DMV will resume again in December once we have the results of the elections.
Correct. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue for follow. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, congratulations, gentlemen. My first question is regarding this VLDC berth that was under development at Pipavav. So this project has been going on for some time. So what's the status of that? And can you give some updates, like what sort of uptick can we see potentially in the next financial year because of this?
Yeah.
Possibly with volumes.
It's a good question. Thank you very much, because we are very focused on LPG and liquids. And the upgrade is going well. The physical infrastructure is now ready. And we have had some challenges in certain parts that had to come in, and some delays, and of course we had to wait to finalize this after the monsoon, but we are operationally ready, and we are also in the process of getting the firefighting system upgraded, which is of course to be in compliance with all rules and regulations for safety. So what we are specifically waiting for now is to get the PISO approvals done, and We are hoping to start VLGC on a partially loaded VLGC carrier at least within this year, calendar year. But the volumes will continue to be brisk. If you see, our liquid volumes have been like 200,000 or two metric ton on a monthly basis, and I think that will continue. So we are still optimistic about the outlook. And the thing with the VLGC is really going to benefit our customers, because we continue to handle Handymax size vessels, but once you can do a VLGC, then the sea freight charges go down per ton, and that's of course something that the customer will be happy about.
So my next question is a basic one. So Has there any new liners or service lines added in this quarter, or do you expect some more additions in, let's say, the coming quarter as well? So if you can throw some idea on
that. In this quarter, we have not added anything, but we are just about to start a new service. I believe I mentioned it earlier this morning as well. We will have a new express service from Peterborough to the Middle East that will start later this month.
So, sir, previously, like if I recall, so while you had not lost out any of your customers, I mean the liners, but there was an issue of cancelled sailings. I mean,
yeah.
I think last year it was a huge issue. So, what is your view on that? So, are you seeing some easing, or is it the situation is still the same? What are your thoughts on that?
What we can see is that the global network is becoming more stable, and the delays around the bottlenecks and the delays around in the system globally is easing up, and that has a positive effect on our exposure, and the skip call has certainly gone down. So I think slowly but steadily, and this is of course a major factor as well for us in recording that month on month growth on the container volume. So it seems to be stabilizing.
So at least in people, you are seeing reduced skip calls, like let's say versus so that's the way. And so the last question from my side, so one of the larger port companies here is actually planning to develop into an end-to-end logistics player, so like essentially doorstep delivery to the customers.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts as APM Terminals, like how are you geared up to face this challenge, and what is DPPV doing on this aspect?
Yeah, I think it's a really good observation, because we are also part of a global group who has the same strategy of being end-to-end supply chain, and we of course, as people of port, we are located fantastic as a port with the DSC and with the ocean connectivities we are having. So with our what do we call Maersk, we call them our sister company, then we are actually already way ahead of the guys you mentioned in pursuing that integrated strategy globally. And we are a true global player, and I believe the people you mentioned are more to be considered as a regional player. But always, as we say, competition is good.
Okay. Okay, sir, that's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Kindly proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, and really congratulations on a really good set of numbers. So I was just wondering, our operating expenses are higher by 30% Q1Q, whereas the volume growth has been only 10%. So is it the reason because the bulk volume?
Yeah, you're right. Mainly driven by the gas and water. Within that, it is a fertilizer. So if you see in the mix, in our presentation, we are also given the mix of the dry bulk, and there is a significant increase in the fertilizer volume. So that's the reason for increasing the operating cost.
Okay, because of the fertilizer volume increase, you think there's a higher operating expense.
Yes, it's because then I think I tried to clarify a bit earlier that when you have commodities like fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
then the variable costs are also going up, because there's a less mechanization on that process, and therefore then it can be a little bit tricky to analyze the numbers, because that growth in operational cost is a function of the volume going up on fertilizer. So there's a manual operation going on with the bagging there, which of course is a little bit linear to the volume. So the more volume you have, the more bags you do, and the more manpower is needed to load them.
Understood, sir. And sir, we have again booked 53 million as an expense to repairs and maintenance related to the cyclone. So how much more such expenses do you expect in H2 and when will be recovered from insurance?
I think Santosh is going to elaborate on it, but again, the cyclone has, of course, been a tough experience, but it's also given us the ability to renew a lot of things and upgrade and to build stronger. We are at the end of it. It's given us some extra work, but it's also meant that we've been able to rebuild the port. And some of the challenges has, of course, been with dealing with the insurance companies because we could not expect them to pay for upgrades and improvements of already written off facilities that got injured and damaged, of course, in the cyclone. But then, Santosh, you have some more specific on the recovery costs.
Yeah, so we have actually completed most of our restoration. The work for the bulk repairs is going on. So that's what we expect to come in the coming quarters, and that should be in the range of around 30 to 40 crores, which will be there. On the insurance, I think we are good there because all the submissions have been timely made on a monthly basis, and we do expect some settlement will happen in the coming quarter for all the submissions made so far. So we have already recovered around 30 crores of insurance in the past, what spent, and then further installment will come in the next quarter.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, I will. Vivian, I will take a question. Ashish,
yes.
Right. So, sir, a couple of questions from my side. Any tariff hikes that may be in the offing in the near term?
That's a good question. We have taken 3 adjustments in the last couple of, 3-4 quarters, right? And the customers have actually now gotten to pay those increments. In the next quarter, I don't think we plan anything further at this moment. Also, if you take the outlook of the shipping rates are dropping and there is some discussions, the timing is not right to increase in the near term. So the question is probably no.
Sure. So secondly, when I'm looking at our volume build-up in the last 3 quarters, we have seen the total container volume go up, but we have seen the ICD volume stagnate or remain flat at about 118,000 a quarter. So can one assume that the incremental volume which has come in the last, let's say, 2 or 3 quarters is largely attributable to transshipment, or there is maybe some increase in the share of road-bound containers as well at the port?
There is a slight increase of road-bound containers and also a little bit on transshipment. As I said earlier, I still believe there's lots of opportunities in the intermodal with rail, and we are continuing to work with our sister company, PRCL, on the DFC and the advantages of ICD cargo there. But it's a long journey, but I agree with your observations, but I don't think it's necessarily an alarm clock that's ringing. It's just proving that it's going to take a long time to get the full benefit of the DSC. Incidentally, here I just want to mention that earlier this week we flagged off a train from Maersk from Sonipat north of Delhi to Pipavav. So we continue to build intermodal products.
Right. So, maybe just last one from my side. We also have an ongoing, sort of a dispute with the GMB where they have encashed certain bank guarantees and they are asking for some more liquidated damages. So, is there any update on that? How is that likely to shape up? And any views on how that might go ahead?
I think it's going to take a little while, but you know what? It's not a major dispute, and it's slipping into a solution through some arbitration, and we are following that development. But I mean, there's no animosity that's coming out of that dispute. It's a business dispute, and we'll get it settled and solved. And I think we are in a good position in that dispute.
Right. Yeah, so that's it from my side. And operator, if there are any more questions, you can take. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Kindly proceed.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, any plan to expand our container capacity in near future?
Yes. Thank you for the question. Yes, we have plans for continuously being ready to expand our container capabilities and our capacity, but not in the near future. We are probably going to give ourselves more flexibility. As you have seen, we have upgraded now our liquid berth to VLGC. The next step we're working on is actually to expand into further capabilities on the liquid side, and that is, if you follow my, this is long term, it's not in the near future, but if you're looking at our ability to expand, it depends on how much waterfront we develop, and the idea is that we can convert our existing liquid berth to containers when we pass the trigger point in terms of our volume. And to enable us to do that, we of course don't want to give up the liquid, so we're also going to expand our liquid capabilities.
And sir, again, coming back to expenses related to cyclone, so just wanted to confirm, they are recoverable from insurance companies or they are not recoverable?
They are recoverable from insurance companies.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
But what we've done in connection with the cyclone is that we've taken advantage where we've had, give you an example, when we've had an old warehouse that was damaged, we simply torn it down, and then we're building it stronger and bigger and better. And that, of course, the insurance company will not recover when you build that kind of new facility from a damaged, totally written off facility, but that has gone in as a capex on top of insurance compensation.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Maurya from HSBC. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi, thank you for taking my question. Particularly, I wanted to get some color on the revenue growth. A large part of your revenues are denominated in the USD, and given that the USD has appreciated and the rupee has depreciated, I would have expected a faster increase in revenues versus the volume growth. And then also given in the context that you had a tariff hike sometime in October last year and again in February this year, but the growth in revenues is largely in line with the volumes rather than above volumes. So if you could help us reconcile that, please.
So I think it's all in Santosh's department. You're talking about exchange rates and Santosh, what do you say?
Yeah, so your observation is right. Of course, there's some benefit coming up because of the depreciation of the rupee, because we have our concern tariff in dollars. But it's also on the cargo mix, because when you look at our concern tariff in specific, then we have different rates for transshipment, we have different rates for exim, and then that also for the other mix like loan and empty. So there is a bit of combination of this, and that's why when you look at these moments coming with a lower revenue, for example, transshipment or the empty boxes, then that entire benefit of the exchange rate is not seen. So I think it's more related to the cargo mix that we're handling today, which is resulting into this revenue changes. But when I look at the future outlook, I think we are quite positive, because if you remember a year back when we had these challenges because of COVID, India had a substantial shortage of containers, and the exporters were not getting containers. The things have changed now, and there are a lot of empties which are coming in, which is good because when shipping lines bring in empties, obviously they have to go out of the country full, and that's why we expect that these empties what we are handling today will eventually result into a loaded box for the future. So, from the outlook perspective, we see this again as a positive development.
The other question which I had, and I think Priyanka previously asked as well, when we look at the global network being stabilizing, right, and the freight rates are declining on the main long-haul routes, so that kind of makes them less attractive. And could we see more services and coming back or the blank sailings stabilizing further? When we look at the volume growth which we've seen, the exim growth of 10% or so, right, how much of it is like underlying and how much of it is because of stabilization of network?
I mean, it's a good combination, but we are actually working on more services coming on the waterfront. And as I mentioned, this month we will have a new service to the Middle East, and we are looking at one additional service from the Far East that comes in maybe in January. So it's good news that the network globally is stabilizing, the capacity and the availability of ships is stabilizing, and that means that the shipping lines are really trying to get their products to becoming more reliable. They have been appalling, honestly, in the global shipping lines. The on-time delivery has been, well, I think, below 50%, and that's of course not sustainable. And this has given all this discussion about reliability on the supply chains. But what it means for us in Kutarav is that, yes, we are seeing more vessels and we're seeing more services coming.
Okay. And the last question from me, on the CapEx front, right? When I look at the cash flow statement, I see that the CapEx is almost 80-90% of what it was for the full year last year. So are we seeing some accelerated CapEx, or is it just, if you could guide us on the CapEx for this year and for the next year?
I thought you from HSBC, you'd like to see the money in the bank. Or maybe that's a trick question here. Sorry. Yes, we are working. We are working on some more capex, and obviously we'd like to reinvest the money that we are making. It's just it takes a little bit more work to get the approvals through the system. We had some good discussion on the board level today, yesterday in Ahmedabad, and I believe our CapEx will go up in the coming quarters.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That's it from me, and congratulations on all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Shah for closing comments.
Yeah, so on behalf of Centrum Broking, I'd like to thank everyone for participating in this conference call. And a thank you to the management as well for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Any closing comments from you, Yakut?
I just want to say we remain optimistic about India. And I think with some of the gloom and people are talking about that we are now getting headwinds and things are changing in the market with inflation and less growth or recession in some economies. I continue to be seeing India as a shining place to be in this situation. And as I've also said, we are not so exposed to some of those markets as others are. We have both the Far East and we have Middle East and Africa exposure, which is still areas where we see continued growth in the import and export. So I think combined with what we continue to talk about, the dedicated freight corridor and the opportunities for lowering the overall supply chain and logistics costs in India, it will make India more competitive. So we are in a good spot, but it takes time. And in the meantime, as you can see, we keep improving quarter on quarter and we are making money. And so while as time goes by and as we are having plans for the future, then it's good to see that we're still able to deliver some good returns, and we can issue some dividends to our shareholders and continue to build a strong balance sheet that makes us ready for CapEx. So thank you everybody for your continued interest and your support, and I would say we are quite satisfied with this quarter's result and the half year of the financial year. Thank you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Centrum Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.